Today's reading is from Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst of before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Leprosy was a terrible disease that not only did you have to endure the disease physically, but you had to endure an isolation. You couldn't be part of normal society. You had to be out, perhaps with other lepers, but outside the city, not coming into contact with anyone. There wasn't any cure for it. One of the instances that we think of when we think of leprosy is probably Naaman. And Naaman traveled a great distance, willing to pay a great sum of money for the possibility that he could be cleansed of his leprosy. But because it was so contagious, quarantine really was the only treatment that man had available. The provisions of the law under the law of Moses were somewhat harsh on lepers, giving that demand that they live alone outside of the encampment or outside of where everyone else lived. So you lose your family, you lose your friends, you lose your livelihood, and you end up being out there dependent on even the kindness of others to simply have the necessities of life. And so they were deemed unclean, untouchable, and no longer a part of that normal society. So when this man that is full of leprosy, as it's described, comes and approaches Jesus and asks, and well, I don't view this as much of a question as a statement, "Lord, if you will," or "if you are willing, you can make me clean." And so Jesus' answer is, "Yes, I am willing," and he does make him clean. So it's more than a request, it's a confession. It's a confession and a belief that Jesus has the power and the authority to do something about this terrible condition of leprosy if he is willing to do so. And as we read, Jesus was willing, and he did. He did remove this terrible and dreaded disease, and then told him to do what the law required in order to be considered now clean so that he could rejoin society. Then within our reading, we also had this section about this paralytic, which also has to do with the authority of Jesus and the power of Jesus. But now the authority is presented in terms of forgiving sins. And so you had these men that apparently cared a lot about their friend, so that they wanted to bring him with the hope that he would be healed and he would be able to walk. And when they can't even get to Jesus to bring him to him, they let him down through this roof. They're going to great lengths to simply get him into contact with Jesus. And Jesus notices all of this, and he realizes what they're going through, but he uses it as a teachable moment as well. When he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." That wasn't quite what they were looking for, but he was in the midst of all of these other people, and so he used it to teach. Now, of course, the greatest problem we could have would be sin. Being cleansed of our sins is a greater gift than being able to walk or even be able to be cleansed of leprosy. Those things pale in comparison to being separated from our God and our Creator. And so when he says, "Your sins are forgiven you," that is indeed an incredible gift. But of course, they ask this question, who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus understands this. He perceives their thoughts and says, "Why do you question in your hearts?" And he says, "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise and walk'?" Again, being forgiven of sins is a greater gift. But it's not something they can see. Nobody walks around with a sign on their forehead that says sins have been forgiven or sins haven't been forgiven. And so they need something they can see. And so Jesus then does heal this paralytic. He tells him to rise, pick up his bed, and go home, which he does, glorifying God. And so now, in order to prove that, yes, he had the authority and the power to forgive sins, he likewise cleanses him of this infirmity, heals him of being paralyzed, and now he can get up, grab his bed, and go walk. And so then there is the physical evidence to back up what he did spiritually. Now, what I want us to think about for today is the fact that the greatest problem we have is sin. You know, any infirmities I have of this body, any aches, pains, diseases, anything that we deal with this body, pales in comparison to the need to be spiritually cleansed, to have our sins forgiven, and to be able to glorify God in that joyous gift of being forgiven of our sins. Sin is the greatest stain that can be on upon us. It is the biggest plague upon our soul. And yet Jesus is willing, and Jesus has the power and the authority to forgive us of our sins if we're willing to do the things that he requires of us, if we're willing to be obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. So in essence, we come to Jesus with the same kind of request that that leper did. That is indeed a statement of faith at the same time. You can make me clean. Jesus has compassion on us. That's why he was willing to be the sacrifice for sins, because he loved us. This is indeed something for us to think about today, and indeed something for us to pray about. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 tells us that we need to engage ourselves in prayer, confess our sins, so that we might be forgiven. Of course, he is speaking to those that have already been obedient to the gospel and taken advantage of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, being baptized for the remission of sins, confessing his name, dedicating ourselves to following the righteous path. But once we've done that, he says, pray and confess your sins, and he'll be faithful to us. He will forgive us. He is willing. He has the power. He has the authority. And so I implore you today, if you have any sin that you've not yet confessed to be forgiven of, do so today. And if you've not become a child of God, if I can help you on that path, if I can help you to understand what is required in order to take advantage of the cleansing blood of Jesus, then reach out to me and I will be glad to talk with you about these things and help you to be obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening today. Please also continue in prayer that God may be with us all.